elder, and as we consider who within the congregation here who should be helping lead us, we'll be thinking about the elder as a pastor who cares for the flock. Be thinking about the elder as a leader who leads with vision and with understanding and with insight, because that is the work of leadership and eldership. The elder is a teacher who thinks biblically and who can bring scripture to bear on decisions and choices that we need to make within church as we seek to move forward serving God and God's kingdom here in this place. This morning, though, I want to go really to the very beginning, go to the start, the elder as a follower, as someone who loves Jesus. That passage in John 21, it is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And the journey that Peter has gone on over 3 years, 3.5 years following Jesus, a journey of discovery on the beach in Galilee, the same beach that we read about in John 21, is first of all after a miraculous catch of fish, where Peter falls on his face before Jesus and says, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Where Peter discovers in and of himself his place before Jesus and discovers in many senses who Jesus is later in Matthew 16, where he says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." So this journey of discovery that Peter has gone on following Jesus. But this declaration, getting towards the passion, getting towards the end of Jesus' life, "Lord, even if all fall away, I never will, I will not. Lord, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will, I will go to very death for you." This declaration that maybe in some senses exposes Peter's pride. If you think you're standing firm, it says in Corinthians, be careful that you don't fall. But this declaration from Peter of how he would stand for the Lord in difficult times. And we know what follows, his denial. Standing at the fire, the little slave girl, and again in John 21, they're standing by a fire. "I don't even know the man." But then we come to this place in John 21, in the passage from 15 through to 22 that we'll look at this morning. And three times in verse 15, 16, and 17, Peter is pushed to the place by Jesus, saying, "Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Peter was hurt when Jesus asked the third time, but he says, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And so that's where we're going this morning. But before Peter's commission, he's challenged to his love for Jesus. And so for you this morning, if you're thinking of people that you could approach about eldership in church, if you're yourself thinking, should I be, should I not be, you know, am I worthy of this? Well, first of all, you're not worthy. None of us are worthy, but Christ makes us worthy. But before you can be commissioned, the question is, do you love Jesus? Deep down in your heart. I'm talking about deep, deep, down, down. And it's a wee silly kid song. But the truth is this, do you love Jesus deep within? A love that puts Jesus first. Read with me, please, in John 21, verses 15 through to 17. John 21, verse 15. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." A third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. A love that puts Jesus first. Those three questions. Do you truly love me more than these? Not a Turkish delight and a picnic. And the great chocolate challenge. But do you love me? Do you love me more than these? Do you truly love me? Do you love me? How would you feel if you were Peter there on the beach? And what's he talking about? Because the commentators don't know. Is Jesus talking about the boats? About the friends? About the families? About the fishing? Or actually just about the familiarity of home? The comfort of home? Of knowing, just when you walk down the street, even if you don't speak to anybody, you can pick people out and you know them and you know their background, you know their history, and you just feel secure and comfortable where you belong. Is it that? Do you truly love me more than these? Warren Wiersbe says this. The question probably meant, do you love me as you claimed more than these other disciples love me? Lord, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I'm better than them. And that William Barclay comes across with both thoughts here. Is it more than the stuff, more than the busyness, more than the business? But he also says, like Warren Wiersbe, is the challenge, Peter, you thought you were better than everybody else. You thought you were stronger than everybody else. Do you truly love me? Because you said you were the big show. And look what's happened. And there's a little play on words, and again, it's not a huge thing between agape, do you love me? Agape, sacrificial love. Do you love me? Filio, kind of brotherly love. And the third question is filio. Peter, do you even care for me like a brother? Never mind sacrifice for me, you're going to die for me. But the bottom line is a love that puts Jesus first. N.T. Wright, and if you allow me just to read a little section here, because I found this really helpful, says this. I'm going to just go back one wee slide. Here is the secret, thinking about the eldership, of all Christian ministry. Yours and mine, lay and ordained, full-time or part-time, it's the secret of everything. From being a quiet back row member of a prayer group to being a platform speaker at huge rallies and conferences. If you're going to do any single solitary thing as a follower and servant of Jesus, this is what it's built on. Somewhere deep down inside, there is a love for Jesus. And though, goodness knows, you've let him down enough times, he wants to find that love, to give you a chance to express it, to heal the hurts and failures of the past, and to give you new work to do. Do you have to be perfect to be an elder? No. Do you have to love Jesus? That's at the very core of serving and following our Lord. A love that puts Jesus first. A love that is active. Because if you look again in those verses, 15 through to 17, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you truly love me? Take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Every time Peter is asked, maybe again the little mirror of the three denials. We're at the same beach. We're at the same lake. There's been the miraculous catch of fish. All those things flooding back. But the bottom line is, do you love me? And love works itself out in action. Is it evidenced in your life? Peter, if you love me, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. Feed my sheep. The work, again, Jill Briscoe's book, By Hook or By Crook, Turning the Big Fisherman into a Shepherd. Peter, feed my sheep. You see, the eldership is not about prestige or position. It's about sacrifice and service. And sometimes in our denomination, we've got to that place that, oh yes, he's an elder in the church. Yes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not about that. It's about serving. It's about serving God's people and serving God. A love that is active. In John 20, as Jesus has met with the disciples before, he says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. So if we're to care for the church as Jesus cares for the church, what does that look like? Your attitude, said Paul in Philippians 2, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, found in human likeness, found in appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. The work of caring for God's church is to give yourself sacrificially. It's a love that is active. Pop quiz. Who is this man? Mm-mm. Go again. Oh, help. Alvin Stardust. It's good, but it's not right. This is a man, John Mayer, one of my favorite musicians, singers. He has a song called Love is a Verb. Liz, I'm disappointed in you. You're going to have to check John Mayer out. Love ain't a drug, despite what you've heard. Yeah, love ain't a thing. Love is a verb. A doing word. Love is active. To love Jesus, well, the chorus of the song is, you got to show me. You got to show me. You got to show me, because love is a verb, a doing word. So a love that puts Jesus first is the mark of an elder. A love that is active. Love is a verb. A love that is personal. Peter has just been challenged about, you said you were the big show. You've let me down. I've asked you if you've loved me. Do you truly love me? Do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, take care of my sheep. And they're walking down the beach, and Peter looks over his shoulder and he sees the disciple whom Jesus loves following. We reckon that's John. And Peter, who's just been challenged about that sense of comparison and being better than everybody else, says, Lord, what about him? Duh. And Jesus says, what is that to you? You must follow me. A love that is personal. That's not about competition or comparison, but a love that is personal. Because my goodness, if we want to pick holes and point fingers, it's more than easy. More than easy. Again, that disease that destroys the church of pneumonia. That we sit in our pews and we just moan about everybody else. But in what we're trying to do is deflect actually our own hearts and our own love. When you point the finger, three are pointing back at you. I am as guilty as anybody. But this is a love that's personal. Lord, what about him? What's that to you? You follow me. How deep is your love? A love that is personal. William Barclay helpfully says, our glory is never in comparison with men. Our glory is in service of Christ. It's not about comparison. It's not about competition. It's about your heart and your relationship with the Lord. My heart and my relationship with the Lord. Now, I want to say that in the context that we don't exist apart. Am I my brother's keeper? In a sense, yes. Because in the church, we care for each other. And so a personal faith in Jesus is formed, shaped, refined, molded, and modeled in the context of a faith community. So we don't exist in isolation, but our faith is personal. But our faith is also in the context of community, but a community that loves each other rather than lambasts each other and criticizes and confuses, and my goodness, we're so good at it. A love that is personal. Remember again that this story is in the context of the crucifixion and the resurrection. So when we think, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. For the disciples, this is the risen Lord of a few days walking on the beach with them. So as we finish, the elder must be a follower, must be a lover of Jesus. A love that puts Jesus first. A love for Jesus, just demonstrating a love for Jesus in action. A love for Jesus that is active. And a love for Jesus that is personal. So this morning, as we begin to consider those who we should be thinking about, praying about over the next few weeks and months, as we think about electing new elders, we're looking for people who put Jesus first. People that serve the church because they love Jesus. And people that you just know that aroma of Christ dwells within them, because their love for Jesus is deeply personal, but yet committed to the faith community here in Ballywillan. That is what we need as we seek to move forward as a community of God's people. Just as the band maybe gather up, can we bow in prayer together, please? Lord, we thank you for your deep love for us. A love that, Lord, you give yourself on the cross that we might have life. And so, Lord, we pray, Lord, whether we're thinking about eldership or not, that we would be people who put you first, whose faith is seen in action. And Lord, that you would help us in our devotional lives, Lord, to spend time with you, that we may get to know you more, that our faith may be deeply personal, yet, Lord, also committed to the community of faith. So, Lord, help us as we consider these words. Help us over the next few weeks and months as we consider those who should be leading us here in this congregation. Lord, may we know your guidance, may we know your peace, and may we know your direction. Lord, hear these our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. As the boys and girls want to begin to